to get to work. You know, one of the hardest things to do is to refocus once you come back from a holiday, right? But I know a man who have not taken off in 40-some years, even on holidays and vacations. So it behooves us to take on the spirit of our Father. Hallelujah. First thing we want to say, God is a good God.
Yes, he is.
So, Father, we thank you because you're good.
Yes.
You're omnipresent. That means you're in every place all at the same time. You're omnipotent. That means that you're all powerful. And you're omniscient. You know everything. You are a good God. Jesus said there's none good but you. We thank you for this apostolic house. We thank you for our spiritual father, the apostle of this house, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. We thank you for the apostolic call that's upon his life to produce sons and daughters, not just mere Christians, but sons and daughters, people who have a relationship with you, people who can produce you on the spot. So we thank you for that anointing, that rare anointing that's upon his life. It is upon this school. It is upon these students here in Darrow and worldwide via the internet and Roku. We bless you for it. Praise you for it. Thank you for the greatest teacher of all, the Holy Spirit. He is here with us tonight, and we are here to receive from him. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, real briefly, y'all did very well on the exam. Just as a measuring stick, there were 83 A's. 19 perfect scores. There were 21 B's, 10 C's, 3 D's, and only one F. Amen. And so I always say to the one who made an F and a D, you didn't apply yourself. Don't get upset. Just tell it like it is. Because you see, one of the things, we're not here to produce what we call A students, but I believe that these exams are too simple. You have a study guide, and the exam is taken straight from the study guide. Amen. Now, don't get into condemnation, because I know many of you are like me, right? If you don't make an A, you upset. All right? All right. So, I mean, you should be if you're not. Okay, so if you wanted them, I just as long as I get a C, no. I don't want you around me, because you're not going to go too far. I think you should strive for excellence. Strive for the best. Apply yourself. We're going to go back to chapter number 4 in your books. We're going to talk about the four realms of prophecy again. I believe that it is so important for us to understand these four realms of prophecy. So the first realm of prophecy is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy. It's later on called the Holy Spirit's mantle. And we'll get into that deeper. Then the second realm of prophecy is the gift of prophecy. That talks about the resident gift. All of us who are filled with the Holy Spirit possesses the resident gift of prophecy. We'll deal with that a little further. Then we have in the Bible what is known as the ministry of the prophet. Functioning, watch this, in the church, the ministry of the prophet. You know, I've said this statement many times, just because you can prophesy does not mean you stand as a ministry gift called the prophet. That's a calling. That's a calling. You don't study to be a prophet. You get called to be one. And but one person can call you the head of the church. Amen. So you have the ministry of the prophet. And then finally, which is hopefully I'll get to all four of them, but especially the last one, which is the prophecy of Scripture, or what is called the canon of Scripture. Now, you have the four realms of prophecy, and it would seem like the canon of Scripture, you know, is the fourth one, huh? But actually, it's the foundation for all of the other three. You understand? Without the canon of Scripture, we have nothing to function from. As a matter of fact, the canon of Scripture is the purest form of prophecy. Yeah. You know, people be talking about, I need a word. Yeah, God say, I got 66 books. Get a word out there. Amen. I'm prophesying to you every day. You listening to me? So the canon of Scripture, what the word Scripture mean, huh? That which is written, right? That which cannot be broken. All right. Jesus said, St. John 5:39, write it down somewhere. Jesus said, search the scripture. Search that which is written. For in the scripture, you think you have eternal life. Notice what he said. You think you do. Huh? But they are those which testify of me. Watch what he say now. But you won't come to me. You think you can get the scripture and get it straight. But the scripture pointing you to somebody. The scripture testifies of me. Remember, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. All prophecy is designed to glorify the head of the church. Are y'all with me? Now, let's talk about the first one. The first one, the spirit of prophecy, which is called what? The Holy Spirit's mantle. The spirit of prophecy, this realm of prophecy, unction, is mentioned in Revelation 19 and 10. Revelation 19 and 10. The spirit of prophecy testifies to what? The manifested presence of Jesus in a meeting. Notice what it said. The spirit of prophecy testifies, put it another way, gives witness to the presence of the head of the church in a meeting. Jesus said, where two of you, where two or three of you are what? Yeah. Gathered together what? In my name, where am I? Where am I? I'm in the midst. Are you with me? So Revelation 19 and 10 says, and what?
And
I fell at his feet
to worship
him.
And he said unto me,
see that you don't do it, brother.
I am thy fellow servant.
I am your fellow servant.
And of thy brethren.
And I'm of your brethren.
I
love that. I'm a fellow servant, and I'm of the brother of one of your brethren, watch this, that have the testimony of what?
Of Jesus.
You know, the greatest testimony anybody can give you is to take note that you've been with the master.
Yeah.
Now, see, it don't matter what people say. See, I don't care what people say about Apostle Thompson. That's irrelevant. Remember when Jesus went and he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're one of the other prophets. Jesus told the 12 who was following him, he said, that's nice. That's good. That's good what they say. But what I need to know is, what do you think of me? Who do you say I am? And Peter got revelation on the spot. Peter said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. See, when Peter got that revelation, it unveiled, it opened up a whole nother realm to him because he understood who Jesus was. We cannot receive from apostle until we understand who he is. He is a man sent from God to impart and to have impact in our lives. Watch this. We function from the apostolic grace that's upon his life. Every person connected to him can receive that apostolic grace. You don't have to do this on your own. You can be graced to do it by functioning from the grace that's upon his life.
Yes.
See, you look at us and you look at the instructors around here. I watch people. Brother John, one of his right-hand men. I'm telling you, you could hear Apostle's voice coming through him. The greatest testament to a man is when you're following a man and somebody say, I can see your father in you. I could hear his voice. I could see his actions. Y'all listening to me? You know, I walked up to him today. He said, I knew that was you, Ron. He said, because of the suit. Pay attention though. Now I want to say something. But see, I learned from him. See, I wasn't too spiritual when I first got here. First thing I noticed was how well he dressed. I'm sorry, I know that wasn't your testimony. But watch this. I'm about to say something, though. When he told me, he said, I knew that was you because of how you dress. Now, watch what I say. It's wonderful to be dressed on the outside. But if I could dress like you on the inside, I'm going to be a powerful dude.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, help me. Okay, now you got that, okay? All right, as soon as I get this iPad open, we can go further. Thank God for technology, except when it shut down on you. When you least expect. All right, so y'all got that right. So he said, I'm your fellow servant, and I have the what? Testimony of Jesus. It, yes. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All right. Now, it says the presence of Jesus charges up the meeting. We know that, right? The environment becomes what? Conducive for worship and a what? And a great liberty is felt. Different degrees of anointing operate in each of these prophetic levels. See, son, it's important to understand we're talking about the four realms of prophecy. Okay, we said the first one is the spirit of prophecy, the Holy Spirit mantle. And this is what I want you to get out of there. I want you to turn to, because we're going to go there real quick. I didn't go over them in great detail. We're going to look at Numbers 11, 24 through 30, and we're going to look at 1 Samuel 19, 20 through 24. So I want you to get those two passages for me as I continue to say this. It says now, the Holy Spirit, or the spirit of prophecy, is the Holy Spirit's mantle of prophetic anointing given during times of worship and prophetic activation, causing the believer to be an instrument for prophecy. Now, I want you to pay attention to that, because listen to me. It's not good to get information. You're getting information to learn how to flow in prophecy. You understand? I want you to recognize that when you are in an atmosphere conducive for prophecy, you could be the one giving the utterance. Oh, Lord. How often you sit up there and wait for somebody else to do it? Hello, spectator. Mm-hmm. Yeah, most believers just go to church to be a spectator. Paul said, when we all come together, every one of you got a song. Yeah. Every one of you got a tongue. Every one of you got an utterance. Every one of you got something you can add to what's going on up in here. Why spectate when God give you the opportunity to participate? We need more participators. Yeah. See, participators, watch this, cause the atmosphere to get charged even greater. Yeah. Because watch this, they have an expectation. I mean, let's get real. People are tired of regular church. Yeah. Know why church is regular? Because there's no movement of the spirit. Have a lot of letter, a lot of word, yeah, but no spirit. But we have the spirit of prophecy, yeah, the Holy Spirit's mantle. Now, let's go to those two scriptures. Okay.
And Moses went out.
Moses went out.
And told the people.
And Moses told the people.
The word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
And gathered the 70 men of the elders.
And he gathered the 70 men
of the elders,
of the elders of the people.
And set them round about the tabernacle.
And he set them round about the tabernacle.
And the Lord came down in a cloud.
And the Lord came down in a cloud.
And spake unto him.
And spake unto Moses.
And took up the spirit that was upon him.
Now pay attention. And God took of the spirit that was upon Moses. Read.
And gave it unto the 70 elders.
And he took the spirit that was upon Moses and gave it to the 70 elders.
All right.
Now, we're talking about the Holy Spirit's mantle.
Uh-huh.
All right. Under the old covenant, the Holy Spirit didn't come within. He came upon. Oh, that ought to help you here. Because that means I don't have to be filled with the Spirit to prophesy. I just got to know how to flow. Hello. But once I understand I don't have to be filled to prophesy, I can desire to go to another level though. Come on, I'm going to help you. See, we get a lot of teaching that's just plain, flat out, not apostolic and erroneous. So when you are born of the Spirit of God, hello, somebody, the Spirit of God, if he came up on flesh in the Old Testament, he can come up on a new creation in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Who was born of his spirit. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So God took of Moses' spirit and put it up on the 70.
Yes.
But the spirit that God took was the Holy Spirit, because Moses functioned as a prophet under the Old Testament. God took the spirit that was upon him and put it on the 70. All right, what happened? Read.
And it came to pass.
And it came to pass.
That when the spirit rested upon them.
That when the spirit rested upon them.
They prophesied.
They what?
Prophesied.
Uh-huh. When the spirit of the Lord comes upon me, prophesy. Don't just run like David ran. Mm-hmm. Y'all dudes want the song. You know, prophesy. Huh? What happened? What he did?
And did not cease.
They prophesied and did not cease. Read.
But there remained two of the men.
But there remained two of the men.
In the camp.
Oh, there remained two of the men, Eldad and Medad, who remained in the camp. Now, the other ones left out the camp, right, and went, and the God took of Moses' spirit and put up on them.
Yeah.
But now they had some who stayed in the camp. Read, what it say?
And the spirit rested upon them.
Oh, and the spirit rested upon them too. So watch this. God is trying to tell you what's about to come. There's the spirit upon, but there's also coming the spirit within.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They stayed in the camp. Same spirit that was out the camp got in the camp.
Yeah.
What happened when it came up on Eldad and Medad?
And they were of them that were written.
And they were of them that were written.
But went not out unto the tabernacle.
They went not out to the tabernacle.
And they prophesied in the camp.
But they prophesied in the camp. Read.
And there ran a young man.
There ran a young man.
And told Moses.
Told Moses.
And said.
Said.
Eldad and Medad.
Eldad and Medad.
Prophesy in the camp.
They prophesied in the camp.
And Joshua the son of Nun.
And Joshua, Moses' minister, Moses' servant. Read.
Servant of Moses, one of his young men.
One of his young men.
Answered and said, my Lord Moses.
Answered and said, my Lord Moses. Notice what he said. Forbid them. Read.
Moses said unto him.
Now pay attention to this. And Moses said unto him.
Enviest thou for my sake?
Are you jealous because somebody doing something like they're going to replace me? Y'all better hear what I'm about to tell you. This is one of the biggest problems in the body of Christ. We got too much competition.
Yeah.
We got, because we don't understand, you know, like spiritual gifts don't make somebody more important than you.
Yeah.
Just mean they are learning how to function with God.
Yeah.
Y'all better hear what I'm saying. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teachers are governmental gifts that came from God. They're not better than you. They function differently.
Yeah.
It's a calling, it's a function. It's accountability, responsibility, and availability. Moses said, you entering for me? Watch what Moses said. Read.
I would God that all the Lord's people were prophets.
Now y'all gonna talk to me up here. I would that all of you were prophets.
And that the Lord would put his spirit upon them.
Oh, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Would that, see, God in this day, watch this, no longer dwell in temple made with hands. He dwell in us.
Amen.
We have a dual anointing, D-U-A-L. We have the Holy Spirit within and the Holy Spirit upon. Oh, come on now. There are times you get to praying in the Holy Ghost and man, he just bubble all over you. Ain't no such thing as can't stop praising his name. Let's change the song. Don't won't stop praising his name.
Yeah.
Because the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet.
Yeah.
Y'all, did you catch that? Yeah. There's no such thing. You know when you're speaking in tongues, you can hear everything going on around you. You never zone out where you just lose total control. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Why would the Bible put that in there? Order.
Order.
So somebody can come out there, oh, girl, I was so lost in the spirit. All right, now. Got to have somebody there to keep you from getting lost. That's why all prophecy must be judged by canon of scripture. All right, so y'all got that? That happened with Eldad and Medad. The next, we're not going to go to Samuel now. We're just going to tell you about it because we need to get a little further. Now, what happened in the book of Samuel, Saul sent servants. And the servants came to Samuel and a company of prophets. Samuel and a company of prophets. In Old Testament days, they had what was called the school of the prophets. I know, we just don't want nobody to train us. I don't know how people think God's going to call you to be an apostle when you never trained under the... Don't speak in tongues. Well, I wonder how the 12 got to be apostles. I would presume Jesus was the trainer. Amen. Now, God got to start somewhere. God got to start somewhere. God got to choose a man somewhere. And watch this. And by reason of the call, put him in a place where we can get to him. We don't get to pick who he chooses. We get to choose the follower. But if you follow right and honor right and get connected right, all you want is that apostolic grace to come upon you, because the grace will cause you to function just like he did. Now, if God chooses for you to be an apostle, that's another thing, because that comes from the head of the church. I can't give it to you because you're my best friend. Don't speak in tongues now. So Saul would send his servants to go into this company of prophets. Now, this is important for this reason. Whenever you are around prophetic anointings, it stirs up the prophetic in you. That's why I know all of you who are filled with the Spirit, especially during times of intense worship. Huh? You can prophesy. Yeah, if you get your mind off you. Prophesying about you. Right. It's about God wanting to speak to his people. In the fellowship that I have, God takes the most unusual people and use them to say things. It's got to be judged. That's why I'm there. That's why apostle is here. I mean, if you're going to throw it out there, somebody need to be there to dice it and slice it. You know, judge it. That's why we don't have parking lot prophets and phone prophets and online Facebook prophets and Instagram prophets. Just thought and Twitter prophets. Y'all notice we got rid of the prophecy club because they had us all jacked up at the turn of the century. So we had to get them off of TV. Hello, somebody. I didn't need no beans in a generator. Y'all with me? I'm just trying to help y'all while I'm here. I say, I'm trying to help while I'm here. We got to start dividing this word and getting this stuff down straight. Okay, so this is what happened. Saul would send those servants, and when those servants would come into the presence of Samuel, who was over the company of prophets, they start prophesying. When they came into the company, the servants started prophesying. Saul said, okay, well, time out. Wait, that might have been a coincidence. He sent another group. They got there. Guess what they did? They start prophesying. Okay, hello, somebody. Then he sent a third group. What happened when they got there? They start prophesying. I wonder if God was trying to tell you after the third day, when Jesus was raised from the dead, that he was going to ascend and send back the Holy Spirit, so that this time when you come, Saul went. And when Saul went and got in the company of the prophets, guess who started prophesying? Saul. In so much that the people said, is Saul one of the prophets? Yes. Now watch what I'm about to show you. When you are connected to a man such as Apostle Thompson and you start carrying his spirit, what's been upon his life will start coming upon your life and impacting all of the people that you're in concert with. Yeah. See, the problem is most ministers want people to see them. It is better for somebody to see your father who's in you. Yeah. Because if they see your father who's in you, then they know you a real son. Yeah. A real son carries the mantle of his father. A real son ain't trying to show how well he can preach and teach. A real son functions from the apostolic call that's upon his father's life. That's why Paul had a Timothy and say, look, I ain't got time to come to you, but when I send Timothy, that's me. Yeah. God said, I'm going to clothe myself in flesh and come down here as a man. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, hello, you've seen my daddy. That's why we got these realms of prophecy, so we can get past the babyhood state of Christianity. So that's the Holy Spirit's mantle, the Spirit upon. When the atmosphere is conducive, you can begin to prophesy. Y'all got that? The second realm is the resident gift. The resident gift. Right? When you're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it's talking about. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the atmosphere, look at me now, does not need to be conducive for you to prophesy. All you need to is stir up the gift that's in you. The Holy Spirit was given to us. You listening to me? And he lives in us. He takes up residence in us. See? You can't speak in tongues except you speak by him. And they were all filled in Acts chapter 2. And they were all filled. I paid close attention that it said, and cloven tongues like as a fire, watch this now, set up on each of them. Each of them. Not it came down. They heard the sound of a rushing mighty wind. They heard the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And cloven tongues, like as a fire, set up on each of them. Y'all ready for this? That was the head of the church ministering the Holy Spirit to all of those believers that were up there. And according to the Bible, there was 120 up there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a tongue-talking woman. I wish Catholics would know that. We wouldn't. You won't have no problem getting them baptized. I promise you. Just a Mary spoken tongue, huh? Let's go get it. Oh, Jesus. Go get it. Go get your tongue. Y'all got that now? That's the resident gift. We all, under the new covenant, every child of God has the right to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to get rid of all this craziness. The Holy Spirit is for every child of God. You have a divine right to communicate with God in a language unknown to you but known to him. That's supernatural. Ooh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. There are times I was, brother, there were times, I'm talking about examples now. See, when you pray in the spirit, you can be in Houston, Texas, and God can tell you what's going on in Louisiana. Someone broke into, I was in between jobs. I was moving from Houston to New Orleans, but I was coming from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I know I was going to be in Houston for a short while, so I sent all of my stuff from Tulsa to New Orleans into a storage camp. They broke in. What happened? They broke in. Well, I'm in Houston, Texas. I get on my knees, start praying, my wife and I. We praying in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost said, I ain't nothing missing. Now, see, there you go. If it had been you, you'd have been a little bit more excited. You don't know what kind of stuff I had up there. Nobody got no time to be going rebuy stuff. He said, ain't nothing missing, everything fine. That was before the police got there. See, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Yes, praying in tongues, God talking to you. Yes, strengthening you. Yes. Y'all better hear what I'm saying. Yes, okay. All right, let me hurry up before I don't get to where I said I was going to get. Lord Jesus, help the pastor. Okay, so the resident gift. That's for those who are what? Filled with the Spirit. Okay, now how many we done did so far?
Two.
What's the third one? Oh, Jesus. Ah, the ministry of the prophet. Lord, help us get through here. Let me hurry up and get here. Help the pastor. Yeah. See, now, one of the things you could see, even from reading Samuel, Samuel stood in the office of a prophet. You understand? I keep saying office. He's a ministry gift. Y'all know Samuel's story, right? Huh? Y'all know that, huh? Y'all know he was prophetically trained, right? Y'all, we got to tell y'all everything, huh? Eli was a prophet. Samuel served him. Y'all ready for this? Huh? When Eli when Samuel would lay down and hear God calling for him, he heard Eli's voice. He heard Eli's voice. He would run in the room and say, Eli, you talking to me? Eli, you talking to me? Why would God come to Samuel in Eli's voice? Maybe you should understand, no matter how deep you get in ministry, your voice never greater than your father's. Maybe I shouldn't be saying these things to help you out. I'm help you out in here today. You walk in wonder. Get this anointing from apostle, go out there and things start happening and you separate from the school, separate from him. You done got big cheese. You need double check. State Farm double check discount. I'm going to be your broker to help you. You ain't got nothing. You got that from the man who you were sitting under. And if you handle it right, you'll go further. You cut it off, you're going to get cut off. I don't know who that's for. That must have been for somebody online. See, when a prophet is functioning, you understand? When a prophet takes his place, everybody around begin to take their place. That's what you need to know about. Yeah. See, prophet is a call. It's not an appointment by man. It's a call from God. I'm not doing this because I went to school. I know a lot of people don't know what school you went to. I was doing more preaching before I ever got a license. God told me, he said, don't let nobody license you. They're going to try to control you. You can only teach their doctrine. So God wouldn't let me go that route. I had to go another route. Don't get mad. God deals with people according to what's going on. And that's not being rebellious. That's just true. Because there comes a time God may have you cut against the grain. Apostle Thompson cut against, I'm word of faith, a little mad with him right now. That's okay. They're going to get over it. They're going to get over it. A lot of them don't understand his heart. But he done been around. He done been in the faith camp and the grace camp. He said we need to come together. Now, any Bible student would have to admit he got something. We didn't got it. I know. Look, I graduated with honors in English. I don't need you throwing your brick. I made straight A's. Hello, somebody. But we don't got it. You got to say stuff like that to get people, you know, little straighten up a little bit, you know. You know, like ignorantology and stuff like that. You know, I'm kind of like a pastor. I'll make up stuff, you know. But I'm trying to get you to see. You see, that ministry of a prophet, that's some serious business, y'all. Do you understand what a prophet told you? God told, see, under Old Testament and even New Testament, but you see it's so vivid in the Old Testament, they treated those men like they came from God. When those prophets said stuff, it came to pass. Yes. We got too many fake prophets. I've seen Apostle Thompson, Bishop Jason Martin, Dr. Jason Martin, Marysville, Washington, a young man that I remember being in the meeting when Apostle called him out. He was on welfare, didn't have nothing. The word of the Lord came to Apostle for him, told him, get with this connection. Boy, y'all better pay attention in class. Get with this connection. Stick with this. The people you're around, they thought nothing of you, but hold up here. Hang around here. God got something for you. I want you to know it's a 360. And it didn't take 50 years. 2-3 years. His entire ministry changed because he was in contact with a real apostle who stood in the office of a prophet. Don't get upset. And pastor and teacher. Don't get mad. He's evangelizing with money coming. So anybody got a problem with somebody being an all fivefold? Y'all trying to make him one. To me, he can be all of that. Once you know who you are, God can use you in all those areas. Okay. Now, the final thing is canon of scripture. Got a few minutes. Thank God I'll be able to get to it. Canon of scripture. See if we can get to it. Got past all them government gifts. The prophecy of scripture, the fourth realm, which I say is the most important realm of prophecy, is the prophecy of Scripture. Y'all got it? It is the spoken revelation of God in times past that have become an authoritative canon of Scripture. Y'all got there? This is the highest and purest form of communication from God. The highest and the purest. Can't be added to, can't be taken away from. What God said, but one thing, you can take it to the bank. When God speak, baby, something happened. I'm just kind of one of them preachers that, you know, I don't just believe in just telling people stuff. I mean, brother, if God's going to say something, it's going to come up. See, some preachers need to just say, that was me. I say that wasn't God, that was me. That was me. Oh, I know, all y'all perfect preachers. Here, let me help you out with your biscuit. Kobe Bryant about to retire. He hit a lot of shots. He missed more shots.
Yeah.
But you got to miss a shot to make it.
Yeah.
In this thing of prophecy, yeah, we don't prophesy perfectly.
Yeah.
We prophesy in part.
Yeah.
Hello. And then when you miss something, just, it's okay. That wasn't the Lord. That was you. I like that. Say, that was me.
That was me.
That wasn't the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Ain't too many people gonna say that, brother. Tell you right now, they gonna feel like you making them out a false prophet. Y'all know in the book of Deuteronomy, I don't have time to go through all those scriptures, but in the book of Deuteronomy, God told you, don't fear a prophet who say something and it don't come to pass. He just didn't get it. We won't come down here like we got everything all right. You prophesy in part. Maybe you had the wrong donut that night. No. Let me say this now. This level of revelation is the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is inerrant. It is infallible. It is the absolute truth. All scripture, not some, all scripture is given. Notice they say given. So if it was given, that means it didn't come from you. I don't believe a man sat down like he would write a novel or write a biography and he just sat down and told him something came to him. The Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon men in times of old and they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible is God breathed. His breath is upon it. 66 books written by different men in different centuries, different time frames. Yet the thread from Genesis to the book of the Revelation is all one. It talks about Jesus, the anointed one. You don't get that. And besides that, can I be honest with you? Y'all know ain't no man wrote that book. Why would a man write a book? Man, if a man wrote the book, you can have 50 wives. Ain't no, have as many as you want. Ain't the man wrote, y'all, amen, amen. Don't lie to yourself. Yeah, oh, she, have them all. Then if a woman wrote the book, hello, somebody, you know she would have said, what's good for a man is good for a woman. Hello, he can have 50, I can have 150. Hello, somebody. I'm just trying to, see, people try to make like the Bible is a human thing. If a white man wrote it, he was dumb. That's for all of the black people, because black people talking about if a white man wrote that, why would a white man write something stupid like that? Ain't nobody going to be writing up rules they can't keep. Do you understand?
Yes.
The Bible is not of human origin.
Yeah. That's right.
It came from God.
Yeah.
And if I won't remain an instructor, I'm stopping.